You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday, welcome to All Marine Radio. Yeah, good morning from the west coast of America. Yeah. A lot of stuff in the news I want to talk about today, and then you're going to hear from Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny today. We're making efforts to improve the audio quality of our discussion. The content will still suck, but the audio, you'll hear it in the future, not today. More clear than ever. So, yeah, that's what we're hoping. That's what we're hopeful. You know, ever since my daughter and I we went through the whole thing about calling quitting playing water polo. And, you know, it's in my head. Something that she said to me, because it's I think it's indicative of the way kids grow up now. She looked at me and she said, "But I was so unhappy." And I've said this before on the program, but you know, one of the things that post-traumatic winning has done is it's kind of sensitized me to this disconnect that young people have with the world that they live in. And that disconnect is created by shit parenting, by shit schooling, and all those people collectively, with all the best intentions in the world, no doubt, are... The phrase that just popped into my head is setting people up for failure. And let's just say this: if you break the segment, we look at the bell curve, okay? So the vast majority of young people, you know, get excreted into society. Some go to college, some don't, and they figure it out, right? If you look at the people on the far left of the bell curve, they're the high performers. They figure it out. You know, they don't even bat an eye, probably. Most people in the middle probably, you know, struggle with a little bit, and then they figure it out too. And then there's the people at the other side of the bell curve who this world that they were told that cared about their feelings, now they, you know, and their whole life, it's been, their life's been predicated on this. You know, quitting sports teams, you know, because I didn't like the way the coach treated me or whatnot. Not fighting through that and figuring out and developing the coping skills that it takes to stay on that team, to work with somebody who I don't really get along with, but I'm not going to allow them to define what I do and don't do in my life. I'm not doing that. I'll learn how to deal with this. And so we're not so much about that anymore. And so to me, what happens is it doesn't go your way and you're bothered by it. Or somebody actually says no to you. Well, good Lord, man, nobody says no to you. Okay? Who says no to you? The world doesn't say no to you. The world cares about your feelings, right? You know that because whenever something happens, you get asked, how did that make you feel? So, I mean, and then there's this disconnect. And so the vast majority of the bell curve figures out the disconnect in spite of, right, in spite of the stupidity of the way they were both raised and educated, in spite of the absolute fabrication of all that nonsense, that isn't true, that it doesn't correspond with real life, but they got it shoved down their gullet for 18 years, that this is how life is, and then it's not. In spite of that, right, 90% figure it out. But then there's the 1%. And the 1%'s in the news today. The 1% picked up a pistol in Pearl Harbor. And the way we even write this shit is amazing. I saw an article and just the way they wrote about, I'll find it here, somebody killing themselves. Died by suicide. So you don't take your own life anymore. You die by suicide. Like, what does that mean? Is that like a really nice way of you die by car accident, died from cancer, right? Died by suicide. What if suicide is a third party event? Took his own life. Committed suicide. Is that somehow or other lessening the culpability that somebody has because they're a victim in all of this too? You know, and again, we sell this shit to young people, and then we wonder, well, why does it continue to go up? I can tell you, man. I can tell you because we lie to them. And then there's some amongst us that can't figure it out. Getting told no blows their vacuum tubes because they've never been told no in their whole life. Yeah, imagine that. Imagine the shock. Yeah. So anyway, good morning to you here on Thursday morning. My birthday in 2 days. One in a wake up. Yeah, so get correct, everybody. That's right. Get your cards and packages. Get them in the mail. That's right. And you're probably going to have to overnight that shit, too. 62 years old. That's right. I'll be 63 when my youngest daughter graduates from high school. I thought about that when I thought, oh my God, I was 45. I'm going to be 63 when this unit, whatever it is, graduates from high school? Like, what? What? Yeah, I was in shock for a day. I'm not going to lie to you. So, yeah. The, I'll tell you what I did. Another thing I did here recently is I've been building out, like, the gym I've kind of constructed in my backyard. It started out kind of ghetto, I'm not going to lie to you. It started out as, like, 4x4s that you could put an Olympic bar on. And then I did, yeah, wooden 4x4s that I had built. And then I slowly added to it. And then Napa man was had a bench that he wasn't using. He was out on his sidewalk. I went by one day to say hi. I said, "Hey, man, can I have that?" He goes, "Yeah." So I took that, and you know, just recently bought some more weights, and I'm, like, not that far away from having a pretty nice home gym. Yeah, I've got a nice treadmill that I hop on, and then I bought, for my bike, my road bike, you can buy these computer trainers, and what you do is you kind of rig the back wheel off the ground onto this trainer. The trainer is Bluetooth connected to your phone. You start to ride and you select the route. So you can ride anywhere in the world. And you select the route and the video comes up of the route. And as you ride, you go faster, you go slower. It takes you uphill and then creates more friction on the back tire. Yeah, I don't ride hill. I don't ride uphill much. And I don't ride into the wind. Sorry. So, I just bought some more weight the other day, and, my little home gym, pretty cool. Now, the man was impressed, and he's not easily impressed. He's a gym rat. He's like, "Whoa, check it out." So, I got that going on, too. For my 62nd birthday. 62 years old. You got to be kidding me, man. I never, what the hell? Hey, 60's the new 40. Right. Do you hear anybody 40 saying shit like that? No. What, 40? What is 40 then, the new, like, 15? Yeah. It doesn't work like that. Right? Trust me, all you got to do is go to Vegas and look around, and you'll say, yeah, 60. I'm not sure where all this other nonsense is coming from, but 60 looks like 60. Hold on, let me read you an email. So, Mac, what should we do with our kids? You got to raise them to be tough, man. Life's not for the faint of heart. You got to teach them to crush adversity, that it's a normal part of life. You got to teach them about post-traumatic winning. Right? You got to combine the compassion that people want to treat people with, right, with the realism that we got raised with by our parents and grandparents. Right? That the world is not going to spin on your feelings, no matter what your dumbass counselors say. Okay? It ain't that way. So you got to be tough. Right? You got to be tough. Are your feelings a consideration? Yeah, but not really so much. Okay? Not really so much. In your life, guess what? Your feelings will always get subordinated to other things. Rarely will you be able to make a decision based on your feelings alone. Why? Because most of you will be in relationships, and so somebody else's feelings are going to count. Then you're going to have kids, and their welfare is going to come before your feelings. So your feelings, most of the time, will be subordinate to other issues. What? Oh, yeah, how about that? It ain't about you. It's going to be about you and somebody else. It's going to be you, somebody else, and then a bunch of little munchkins who have to be fed, that costs money, who have to be clothed, got to have the latest iPhone, all that costs money, man. Here's another little observation. So, during this whole time, like, Colleen had her phone repossessed by the owner, which is me, right? Guess what? She's a more productive girl without that phone. That's just her dad's observation. She's a more productive human being without that phone. Comes home, right? Sits down, does her homework. Not messing around on the phone. Blah, 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 blah. Shit got done. And I just said, hey, just a little observation for you. You're a better human being without that thing. She's like, what? I said, yeah. Boom. You're a better human being without your phone. She's like, well, I don't agree with that. I'm like, of course you wouldn't. You're a dopey-ass kid. What do you know? So anyway, you know, we have to stop treating our kids, right? Like, this is how kids get treated now. Kids get treated when they're little like they're adults. Okay, well, if you're not going to eat your asparagus, there's going to be consequences. They don't give a shit about the consequences. They're little kids, man. Their brains aren't even close to being fully developed. So they're going to understand consequences in the future. All I know is I got my way, and I'll negotiate, right? And I'll break you down like a sawed-off shotgun. I'll break you in half over that ice cream in about 20 minutes because I'll scream and yell till you can't take it anymore. And we know that you have your breaking point. And then I'll get my ice cream, too. So it's my way or the highway. Well, I got my own Burger King factory going. Yeah, have it your way. Except it's have it my way. And so, yeah. And so you can imagine. You can imagine when it doesn't go your way, when life starts saying no to you. Amazing. All right. There's a ton of news that I want to talk about today. Yeah, sometimes I don't want to talk about, and none of it's like impeachment stuff. I think that's it. I think that's a clown show, and I don't know anybody who's watching it other than F-18 Man. F-18 Man is the only person I've seen make a comment about it. And the only reason he made a comment about it is because he's a pilot and he has layovers and he got nothing else to do. Yeah, he got nothing else to do. He's wasting time. So, yeah. So I don't know anybody. I haven't had anybody engage me about it. And again, contrast that for those of us that were alive during Watergate when President Nixon got impeached. I can remember to this day coming home from high school, walking back in the TV room, you know, my mom watching it, Kathleen, she's a Democrat, and she was an old-fashioned Democrat. She wouldn't be a Democrat today. Peter Rondino, Sam Rayburn, who was that, Sam Ervin? Was he the chair? The somber faces as they weighed the evidence against President Nixon to refer charges to the Senate in his impeachment. I think that was the vote that I remember watching. I mean, and the whole country was watching it. To me, this is more the continuation of, I still want to get to the bottom of who, that whole dossier thing. Where did that come from? Was that part of just politics in the United States? That level of disinformation, the thing got turned into an FBI investigation? I'm curious about that. Was that all reindeer games and fraud? So anyway, but there's plenty of news, and we're going to get to that. So good morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to everybody out there who can influence a young person, right? take them this message. Life is not for the faint of heart. Right? Life is not for the mentally weak. You got to be strong. And life is going to say no to you. And other people are going to try to infringe on what you want to do. Do not allow that. Develop the coping skills to fight through that. Know that that stuff's out there. Murphy's Law, right? Lurks everywhere. I've got a little card about that that I need to find. But again, I mean, I talk about in post-traumatic winning, right? So much of it is not mental health. And that's the other thing that drives me to this. It's not mental health related. It's failure to cope. Well, where's the disconnect? The disconnect is between the world they were told was out there and the world actually as it is. And people are dying because of it. Because they don't realize that hard work and toughness have a huge place in your life. Because that's a nasty-ass world out there. And it'll take everything that you have. Right? And I can hear the Mickey Mouse, you know, character. Oh, Mac! Don't talk like that! If we just do yoga and breathe through our noses and hold it for 2 seconds, we can all do the right thing! No, we fucking can't, man. There's people out there that don't give a shit about the right thing. Please, I don't want to hear it! No, 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 no! Yeah, see you, Mickey and Minnie. Get the fuck out of here. Right?
Don't talk like that! Just so depressing!
Yeah, no shit, man. It's called the real world. And you gotta love them enough and raise them enough to live in that son of a bitch. Because if you don't, right? Again, 90%+ of them figure out, in spite of the shit way they got parented and the shit way they got educated, that, you know what, okay, it's not really like this. That if I do want to raise, I've got to show up on time or early. I've got to do more than the other people, right? And that's, geez, who knew this shit, man? And that's how you make more money. Wow, I wish somebody would have told me this years ago. Come on, it's a joke. It's a joke. We're so worried about your feelings that we won't teach you the basic skills that it takes to win in life. And that's what this is about, winning. It's about winning, man. You got one lap around the track, you got to win. And don't let other people define what you want to be. So anyway, but again, you got to be more than just your spirit. Oh my God, we're all little snowflakes. Why can't everybody understand that this is so distressing to me?
Yeah,
you are a snowflake, but you're only 1% snowflake. You're 99% like everybody fucking else, man. And we got to teach that so we develop young, tough kids. Right? That can eat life alive. That aren't like shocked when people say no and there isn't this violent disconnect and they check out and kill themselves. So anyway, this is dedicated to everybody like you who has a say in your children or your grandchildren. Make them tough. Make them tough. Give them coping skills. Don't let them quit. So this is dedicated to you in the hope that you'll do the right thing. Just do the right thing.
Our flag comes first.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we're going to see if anybody's winning relative to the weather today. Currently, it is 6 degrees. I don't think it updated. Well, we'll see if it updates now. Okay. Maybe not. Hold on. Maybe so. the king of adaptation, Michael Francis McNamara. That's right. Currently, it's partly sunny and 47 in Quantico. It is sunny and 54 at Camp Lejeune. It is partly cloudy and 49 in 29 Palms. At Camp Pendleton, which is about 30 minutes from here, it is cloudy and 54 degrees. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy at 72, so they've warmed up. Okinawa's cooled off. Raining, dark, and 62 in Okinawa. In Ramadi, oops, I'm sorry. In Lashkar Gah, because we go east to west here. So Afghanistan comes before Iraq when you're going east to west. Anyway, in the provincial capital of Helmand, it is clear, dark at 54 early in the evening. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it's cooled off. It is clear, dark and 58. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy and 56. The wind chill sits at 56. Yeah, wind chill, look, when it's above, like, 30, wind chill's bullshit. Maybe not, right? But, come on, wind chill when it's 56. I kind of throw that in there as a bit of a joke. Looking for a high of 68 degrees today. Tomorrow, 67 degrees. And on Saturday, which is my birthday, it's going to rain and be 65 degrees. So it'll be a good day to be indoors, opening to all those presents that I'm going to get on my birthday. Yeah, how exciting is that? Now, shithole weather. And good morning, Mac, from Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. Now, Bev has a picture of, what the hell is this thing? Yesterday, carrying both the Canadian and the U.S. flags, the Canadian Pacific Holiday Train rolled through Churchbridge, stopped at Bradenbury, 8 miles west, while the U.S. Central Pacific Holiday Train stopped in Minot at 6:30 for about a 30-minute concert. Each train is about 1,000 feet in length with 14 brightly decorated rail cars. And she's got a picture of it. And you should see this thing. So here's the picture's awesome, by the way. Canadian Pacific, and the engine is all decked out with snowflakes and Christmas trees, and then all the cars are lit. Yeah, it says Canadian Pacific Holiday Train, and there's Christmas trees and Christmas lights, and this thing goes on forever. It's awesome. Yeah, it's beautiful. What a good idea, right? What a good idea. The holiday train started in 1999 by Canadian Pacific employees traveling on the tracks owned by Canadian Pacific. Those attending the free concerts were asked to bring donations for the local food banks. Currently, Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, is 16 degrees above, has a mix of sun and clouds, and winds out of the northwest at 7. The afternoon going to get all the way up to 14 with winds out of the northwest at 10 miles an hour, which means the wind chill is going to sit at about zero. Once through Windsor and U.S. Customs, Canadian Pacific doesn't own the rail line between Detroit and Chicago, so the route cannot be shown on the map that I've enclosed. So there you have it. Yeah, this thing goes all over the place. Goes up to Thief River Falls, goes to Moose Jaw, and down to Davenport, Iowa, and then to Chicago. So, how about that? That is awesome. From Chris, who's on the move today. He's in North Oxford, Massachusetts. He's at the local barbershop. F-word flying like the birds going south. Come on. I mean, it's a barbershop. It should. 33 degrees Fahrenheit, looking for a high of 37. Winds are out of the west at 15, gusting to 23, mostly clear skies. And Christmas spirit from Oxford, Massachusetts. And just quaint little house with Christmas decorations out front. You know, that's one of the better ideas I've ever had. Here's another one from Ruth Ann in East Grand Forks. Does not give the weather, by the way. LOL, I remember when you announced that on the air that you and Susan were having another child. You sounded shell-shocked. And you're not old, you're classic. Yeah, that's not what you say when you're a kid. This is from Vacaville. Big Dave in Vacaville. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California is currently 50 degrees, cloudy with winds out of the... with winds at 7 miles an hour out of the east, looking for a high of 60 today. Happy birthday in 2 days. 62 is the new 61. Be well. And here's a picture of what I assume is Dave's dog, the black lab. Yeah, sitting right at the corner, not crossing the street irresponsibly. So well done, Dave. And then the holiday Christmas train will be in Thief River Falls on Friday, December 13th. We're planning on going. Can't wait. It's been coming through Thief River Falls for a number of years. Thief River Falls is a town in northwest Minnesota that looks like it came straight out of a movie. You know, Main Street. It's like St. Peter, Minnesota is kind of on the way to Mankato from the Twin Cities. But, you know, I love the name of the city, Thief River Falls. I mean, who thought that up? Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take a short break, about a two-minute break. We'll come back. We'll do news headlines. There's a bunch of them. Jeff Kinney, Tim Lynch going to join us. Don't touch that dial. More of All Ring Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down.
I did say 2 minutes.
I'm Marie McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, Colleen, moderately excited that she got her phone back.
I wanna walk you to a cold bitter.
But I'm not done with her. One of the things I do like about Colleen playing sports is that you get a chance to teach these lessons. You know, if she didn't do these things, I wouldn't, you know, this opportunity would not have been afforded to me. That's why activities are important. I don't care if it's band, theater, you know, whatever it is, man. you know, being part of something is important because it teaches life skills how to cope and promotes these discussions. I like that harmony.
But right now it's just me.
All right, to the news we go. Peyton Davis, right there. All right. Sailor kills two civilian workers himself in shooting at Pearl Harbor, according to Navy officials. Yeah, no information has been released other than that it happened. So, he worked on a submarine, the USS Columbia, which is undergoing repairs in dry dock. The victims' names were not released. The shooter's name was not released. The motive is unknown. So, something so bad in that human being's life had to go shoot what appeared to be two random strangers and then kill himself. Trial dates have been set for a SEAL and a Marine charged in a soldier's death. The Navy has announced trial dates for a U.S. Navy SEAL and a Marine charged in the hazing deaths related to a Green Beret. The SEAL is named Tony DeDolph, and the Marine is named Mario Madera Rodriguez, are amongst four servicemen charged in Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melger's death in the African country of Mali in 2017. I want to say one Marine and a SEAL have already pled guilty to charges. The DeDolph's court-martial is scheduled to begin on March 23rd. He's accused of strangling Melger. He's been charged with murder, involuntary manslaughter, hazing, and obstruction of justice. Madera Rodriguez is charged with restraining Melger during the assault. He's charged with murder, involuntary manslaughter, hazing, and making false statements. His court-martial is set for April 20th. So, that in the news today. I told you that this hearing was going on earlier in the week. Defense officials used unreliable information in reports to Congress about military housing, according to the General Accounting Office. So that means that the DOD misled Congress, and they misled them based on unreliable information. Where did the unreliable information come from? Let me get my secret decoder ring out. From those fucking privatized housing providers that haven't been supervised. And now even when you're trying to get to the bottom of it, you can't get to the bottom of it because their data is shit. Yet the DOD did. That's the data they provided. And the GO looked at the DOD and said, this is garbage, right? This is a story written by Rose Thayer. Data collected to determine the satisfaction of residents living in privatized military housing and the health of homes available to them was deemed unreliable and potentially misleading by a GAO report released on Tuesday. Defense Department used the data in reports to Congress and to determine whether the 14 private companies managing base housing were eligible for bonuses. This is Senator Tim Kaine, whose kid's a Marine. Quote, I'm trying to determine if I've been accidentally misled or intentionally misled. Said that to the report's author, Elizabeth Field, GAO's Director of Defense Capabilities and Management. The report entitled Military Housing Privatization, Preliminary Observations on DOD's Oversight of the Condition of Privatized Military Housing. The report's supposed to be released early next year. And again, that report followed scathing reporting done by Reuters, in which they documented with pictures, with stories, houses filled with mold, rodents, lead paint. Joke. Now the data supplied by DOD, that's even shit. Yeah. So in that story, you can find her report. It's a 23-page report. So, and that's the preliminary report. So it's amazing. It's amazing. And now, you know, we were talking about earlier this week, right? The Navy pushed back on a ruling that says that you're going to have to take responsibility in Pennsylvania for groundwater contamination. Oh, we don't want to do that. Why? Because it's going to be a shit ton of money. Next story. But they keep polluting people's bodies and destroying their health. Navy Marines scrutinize base housing contractors withholding bonuses. Well, there you have it. Finally putting their foot down. Story in USNI News by Ben Warner. The Department of Navy has yet to pay an incentive fee this year to any of the companies charged with managing Naval and Marine Corps base housing. The Acting Secretary of Navy, Thomas Moldley, told lawmakers on Tuesday. Appearing before the Senate Armed Service Committee on Tuesday, Moldley, along with his counterparts from the Army and the Air Force, and a representative from the Government Accounting Office, faced often blistering questions. Now, this is the second time within a year. At what point will Congress act to unscrew this? Quote, looking at those very, very carefully to understand whether or not they've earned them, and we're going through the analysis. Let me say no. Senator Angus King, who's an independent from Maine, asked the panel whether the base housing contracts were adequate or if the problem was enforcement of the contracts. According to Elizabeth Field, who you just heard, right? She's a GAO woman. I think it's both. In many cases, the contracts were not written in such a way that the services could truly hold the partners accountable for everything they should be holding them accountable for. So now what? It's just gross. I mean, you read stories on a daily basis of, you know, families suing the DOD, families suing these housing because they destroyed the health of children. Yeah, your kids living in that kind of shit. The chief of naval operations in the United States Navy, Admiral Mike Gilday, releases a new simplified command guidance to the fleet. And you can read that if you want to. It is FRAGO 01-2019, a design for maintaining maritime superiority. So it is a grand total of how many pages? Of 8 pages. All right, 8 pages. So it's a little bit of a FRAGO. You can check that out if you want to. Next. Another Marine arrested for allegedly attempting to smuggle in unauthorized immigrants. Now, there was a day, mind you, when you were going through like a when you were going through a checkpoint, that if you were in the military, they're like, hey, head on through, right? No. Hey, he's military, stop him, search his ass. So listen to this story. This is amazing. A Marine with Headquarters Battalion, 1st Marine Division, Camp Pendleton, again, was arrested Monday. Now, Headquarters Battalion is a battalion that supports the command element of the division. Headquarters Battalion, 1st Marine Division, was arrested Monday for allegedly, you're going to hear the allegation here in a second, attempting to smuggle unauthorized immigrants across the U.S.-Mexican border. The junior enlisted Marine. Okay, so that means months away from having the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor thrust into the palm of his or her hand, right? Tears more than likely streaming down their face. He's arrested at 1 a.m. on Monday morning at San Ysidro. The 20-year-old Marine was driving a white 2007 Mustang when he was pulled aside for more intensive inspection. A Customs and Border Patrol spokesman told the Marine Corps, Marine Corps Times, in an email on Tuesday, when officers opened the car's trunk, they found two women hiding inside who they identified as Chinese nationals with no legal authorization to enter the U.S. The Marine is still in civilian custody. Now, I mean, do they not have x-ray machines down there? I thought that was kind of like standard shit. Is this like a Darwin thing? You're too stupid to figure it out? Right? Kind of like vaping and all the rest of that shit? You're going to put that shit in your lungs. Really? You can't figure that that's probably not a good thing for you? Then that's I think they call that natural selection in some way, shape, or form. If you'll ignore all warnings to the good and do that, then you're probably, you know, you're probably not long for this planet. Here's another story. Marine Corps no longer pursuing court-martials for Marines arrested at battalion formation for alleged human smuggling. Right. Okay. A military judge said leaders of 1-5, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, violated the rights of the accused with unlawful command influence, according to the San Diego Union Tribune on Tuesday. Instead, the Marines will be administratively separated. Yeah. Boot their asses out. Nobody cares about the rest of it. Boot them out. Give them other than honorable discharges. I'm not sure that we could do that in simply administrative procedures. But if you can do that, take back some of their benefits. But again, you know, the UCMJ is no longer for good order and discipline in the Marine Corps. You're just like a civilian. Just a different venue. Right? Just a different venue. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Next story. We've been following the Duncan Hunter story. Now, do you remember Duncan Hunter? He talked about what it was like to be poor. Do you remember that arrogant stuff? Now, I don't know that dude. Right? This is what he said, though. So he gets caught using campaign money to pay for, like, his kids' braces, vacations to the Med, and various other things, allegedly, right? So this is Duncan Hunter about what it is to be poor.
There's nothing illegal about being poor, okay? I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account.
There you have it. Remember that? Arrogant nonsense? The prosecutor seeking a 1-year prison sentence for Representative Duncan Hunter in his corruption case. He pled guilty on Tuesday to a single charge of conspiring with his wife to use at least $150,000 in campaign funds for personal expenses under a plea deal with a former prosecutor. All right. He had faced 60 counts. The 6-term Republican showed no emotion in the courtroom when he was charged. When he changed his plea to guilty and admitted that he and his wife, Margaret, misused at least $25,000 in campaign money every year from 2010 to 2016. The charge carries up to a 5-year sentence, but the deal calls for prosecutors to recommend much less when a judge sentenced him in March. So that case continues to unfold. The U.S. Postal Service is issuing a healing PTSD stamp to raise funds for veterans. Proceeds from the Healing PTSD stamp purchases will be donated to the Department of Veterans Affairs and the National Center for PTSD, the Postal Service announced Monday during a dedication event in Charlotte, North Carolina. So when you see that, yeah, and it's a green, something green growing out of the ground with leaves around it. And that's Healing PTSD. So there you have it. Next one. Lawmakers seek answers on rising military and veteran suicide. So here's going to be some interesting statistics for you. After Terry and Patrick Serta's son, Navy aviation electrician's mate, striker Brandon Caserta, died by suicide in June of 2018, the couple channeled their grief into raising awareness of the impact that leadership can have on junior sailors and the struggles facing troops who need mental health care. Since Brandon's death, the Casertas have walked the hallways of Congress pressing for legislation they believe could save lives. A way for service members in a mental health crisis to tap out of their situations getting help without retribution. At least one lawmaker seems to be listening, and that is Democratic Senator from the state of New York, Kirsten Gillibrand. In a hearing on Wednesday, she recounted Caserta's death and asked pointed questions about toxic leadership as well as Pentagon policies that require mental health professionals to notify a command in some behavioral health cases. So the command should be notified. Jeez, Senator Gillibrand, man. She hates the DOD, man. She hates it. Would you agree that fearing retribution from superiors and the possibility of a mental health provider contacting his command may have dissuaded Brandon from seeking help? Before his death, Caserta was struggling with several problems, including depression over washing out of the Navy basic underwater demolition SEAL training after breaking his leg, disappointment in his new rating and job, and stress over his immediate supervisor, a petty officer who was known to be verbally abusive and had been shifted between units for his behavior. What does that sound like? Does that sound like mental health or failure? I just can't cope with it. Sounds like I can't cope with it. Now, the DOD's 2018 annual suicide report, released in September, found the suicide rate for active duty U.S. service members in 2018 was 24.8 deaths per 100,000, right? That's the highest since they began tracking the number in 2001. The age-adjusted suicide rate in the general population in 2017 was 18.2 deaths per 100,000, okay? So, there was a day when you were less likely to take your own life when you were a member of the United States military. Now you're more likely. You're like 6 percentage points more likely. More than 6. 6.5? 6.6? Almost 7%, right? In 2018, the Army had the highest number of active duty suicides with 139. Okay, now, but that's not the number to focus on, okay? 139, the Army's the biggest service, okay? The Army had a rate of 24.9 per 100,000. The Navy had 68 suicides. They had a rate of 20.7. The Air Force had 60 in 2018. 3 weeks ago when I talked to them, they were at 118. The Air Force will double their suicide rate in a year. They were at 18.5 per 100,000 for 100,000 people. The Marine Corps had 58. Okay. 31.4 deaths per 100,000. The Marine Corps has the most suicide per 100,000. And then it goes on to say this. The National Guard had the highest suicide rate across the board among the three components with a rate of 30.6. Now, I don't know when they say three components if they averaged the Navy and the Marine Corps and came out with a lower number. But if you throw the Marine Corps in, the Marine Corps beats the National Guard. The VA also announced information on veteran suicide in September, disclosing that more than 6,100 veterans died by suicide in 2017, or about 17 a day. Although the number appears to reflect a decline from the previous estimates of 20 a day, based on the veteran population and revised calculation, the number is actually an increase of 2% from 2016 and a 6% rise since 2007. Okay. So, again, when you look at the VA's number, the VA number is continuing to escalate. Now, I don't know. Remember you saw that number 22 a day? And then it was supposedly 20 a day. Well, according to this study, it says those were both incorrect. The anyway, all right, that is in the news. And top five stories in early bird. Now, number one, Pearl Harbor shooting leaves three dead. We talked about that. Two, U.S. officials say Trump administration weighing 14,000 more troops for the Middle East. The Pentagon says that report is wrong. So that was in the news last night. Trump seeks $250 million in new lethal aid for the Ukraine. Again, now what's really weird is the way Trump acts in Vladimir Putin's presence, but he's not afraid to ratchet up, right, lethal aid for the Ukraine. This money includes the Javelin anti-tank missile, which is a pretty good piece of gear, which will kill Russian tanks. So, pretty odd, right? Number four, ISIS is taking a beating in Afghanistan, setting the stage for a potential U.S. troop withdrawal. What? Wait a minute. ISIS is the undercard. I'm not sure who's writing the headline. Sustained U.S. and Afghan operations combating the Afghanistan branch of the Islamic State has led to a near collapse of the jihadist group in ISIS, man, they're getting thumped everywhere, in eastern Afghanistan, helping clear a hurdle for an American withdrawal from the country. But again, nobody believes that's permanent. So when we talk about, you know, why we're there and what we're doing, I mean, that's, you know, I don't know, it's pie in the sky bullshit, right? There's almost nothing left in this area. And Al-Qaeda, the same thing. And tremendous progress, Trump told U.S. troops during the visit. And we've got them down to very low numbers. We'll have that totally taken care of here in a very short period of time. What? The New York Times, citing a Western official, reported that the number of ISIS militants has dwindled down to roughly 300 from previous estimates that claimed the group was fielding several thousand fighters. So, progress. Now, right, if Taliban would, you know, agree to some sort of political, you know, conclusion to operations, then maybe you would have the ability to do something. But until then, come on, man. Exclusive, U.S. military completes pullback from northeast Syria, according to the Secretary of Defense. Well, what does that look like? Because we were pulling out a handful of troops, and then we were sending in tanks. The United States has completed its military pullback. Oh, not pull out. Got it. In northeastern Syria, settling into a more stable posture of about 600 troops in the rest of the country after repositioning and reducing forces, according to the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. Esper's remarks in an interview with Reuters could signal an end of a period of turbulence and uncertainty surrounding the U.S. military presence in Syria after President Donald Trump's initial withdrawal order in October. Yeah, that's until he unleashes his Twitter account again and starts making, right, DOD and State Department policy via the Twitter. Right? Since then, troop levels in Syria have fallen about 40% from around 1,000. Esper stressed he retained the ability to move in and out small numbers of forces as needed in Syria, but he suggested that the troop number will fluctuate around the 600 level for the foreseeable future. So there you go, the latest from Syria. And what other story that was prominent, and then we'll get Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney in here, that was prominent yesterday was the Navy and the United States Coast Guard seized suspected Iranian missile parts en route to Yemen. A Navy warship has seized, and now I don't think the Navy can stop. I think the Navy stops them, but the Coast Guard actually does the seizing part. A Navy warship has seized a significant cache of suspected Iranian guided missile parts headed for rebels in Yemen, U.S. officials said Wednesday, marking the first time that such sophisticated components have been taken en route to the war there. The seizure from a small boat by the U.S. Navy and U.S. Coast Guard boarding team happened last Wednesday in the Northern Arabian Sea, and the weapons have been linked to Iran. What a shocker. Nobody would believe that. Officials said the incident illustrates continuing illegal smuggling of weapons to the Houthi rebel rebels and comes as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were meeting with Iran as the main topic. And, you know, and let me tell you, and Netanyahu, man, the Mossad, they're all over the Iranians. He's schooling, right? They sit down to meet, and he's like, Mike, you might want to take out a pad because I'm gonna explain to you what the Iranians are doing, okay? All the things that you guys don't know, I'm going to give you today. So I hope you have a good-sized pad, all right? A top Pentagon official warns against possible Iranian aggression against the United States. Well, again, one of the smartest things the United States did in the last few months is did not respond to the missile attack against Saudi Arabia. Let them choke in it. Now, this story, here's a quote. U.S. Undersecretary for Defense Policy John Rode, R-O-O-D, told reporters in Washington, D.C., we do remain concerned about potential Iranian aggression. We also continue to see indications potential Iranian aggression could occur. In private, we've sent very clear and blunt signals to the Iranian government about the potential consequences of aggression. But again, why would it make sense for the Iranians to do something? Because they would want to distract the population from the gas prices and the rioting, and we've got to tee up the great Satan. So it makes sense. U.S. peace envoy to Afghanistan launches an accelerated effort in surprise stop to Kabul. Zalmay Khalilzad was in the Afghan capital of Kabul on Wednesday to start talking peace again. To get the Afghans on both sides of the protracted conflict to the negotiation table to plot a roadmap to a post-war Afghanistan. The Afghan government, the puppet government, right? Taliban going to sit down with them now? I guess we'll see. Big kerfuffle at the NATO summit as the other kids were making fun of Donald Trump. And then got caught on TV doing it. I mean, to me, I can imagine, they don't like the president, right? He makes them look like jackasses when he talks about the money that they've agreed to pay but don't pay. And the audio I played yesterday, the issue of arrears never comes up. And it's just this joke, right? And you had George Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, everybody. Nobody called them on it, right? And again, why is the American taxpayer more on the hook for Germany's security than German taxpayers are? Why? Somebody answer that for us, please. We want to know. You're full of brown country. We were content to do it in directly after World War II. And we certainly augmented it, but you guys don't provide shit. How is that fair? At the NATO summit, Trump says Japan and South Korea should pay more for U.S. troops. There's a common theme here, in case you don't know. And then subsequent to that, Japan made comments about defending appropriate sharing of the U.S. military burden. All right, well, then maybe you should fend for yourself relative to the Chinese. All right, that's a look at the news today. I told you there's a bunch of it, and on a whole variety of fronts. The more you look at these investigations into young people that take their own lives and, you see what's involved in them, the more you see it's not what we would call classic mental health. And where are the seeds of those things sowed? Right? Not making kids reconcile themselves with what they're failing at. Right, the things that good parenting does, the things that good educators do, and because that sets the stage for them to do to master the one thing you got to get good at in life, and that is overcoming adversity. Life is not going to be the way you want it to be, and what do you do when it's not? You know, what do you do when it's not? So anyway, but it's much easier to blame everybody else. It's much easier to blame the hazing. It's much easier. I mean, hazing now is a joke. right? I mean, kids, 90-something percent of recruits that go to Marine Corps Recruit Depot have never been in a fight. So what, somebody teased you? Oh, I'm so sorry. Did that hurt your feelings, boo-boo? I mean, come on, man. Never been in a fight. Yeah, that's crazy, but that's the world they live in now. It's as soft as a baby's ass, and it doesn't serve them, and that's my point. You got to let them fail. You got to let them go through adversity. You got to look at them and say, hey, man, that's on you. Figure it out. Figure out how to solve that. Sit down with them. Talk to them. Tell them you'll do anything. What do you need from me? And those are the skills you need to get through this. But we don't do that. And then we're just absolutely positively shocked that this would happen. All right. We'll take a break. It's 9:12. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Jeff Kenny and Tim Lynch join me to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.